Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on The Bachelor, only 7 men remain. Will a flying fish sink one man's boat? Then a shocking elimination. But is it for good? Plus, which final four will make it to hometowns? It's the most shocking episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I am Jared Freed.
And we are back and almost at hometowns. We have a very exciting episode, but before we get started, make sure you guys are following us at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. Chris is live tweeting, keeping you guys up to date with fun polls and everything in Bachelor Nation. We also have a newsletter that goes out every week called The Bachelor Breakdown. You can subscribe to that at betches.co/bachelorbreakdown. Dana writes the newsletter. She's giving you all the tea, our favorite quotes from this week, everything that's going on TikTok and everywhere. So you can make sure you subscribe to that. But
if you don't mind me, Kay, if you don't mind 2 seconds, there's an Instagram post that goes with every release of the episode. So right now there's a post on the Bachelor Instagram page. Go comment on it with your villain of the week. Let's do that this week. Your villain of the week, because I think this week has a lot of debate to it. Go comment with your villain of the week. I'll be responding and looking at what you guys have to say. Kay, I'm sure, and Chris will do the same, but we're all going to be looking at what you think the your villain of the week, because I think this week had
it was hard. A lot.
This week was hard, and I think this week was actually the most, as far as like jokes are concerned, like we're all interested in kind of like roasting the show during it. But I thought it was like an easier one to discuss. Like, I think this show, not to get ahead of what we haven't even taped yet, but I think there's more discussion to be had about this episode than there is, you know, making fun of them not masturbating. Do you guys, feel that way?
I think in general, this season has been kind of tough to roast. Mm-hmm. But specifically
it's been disgusting.
Now. Yeah, it's been like too serious. It's like, yeah, it's very discussy, I guess, is the right word.
And especially this episode, like watching the interaction, like the easiest part to roast was probably Katie and, you know, Mike cuddling.
Yeah.
But other than that, even that is still awkward, because it's like, yeah, it's awkward because who knows if he's ever even like touched a woman like that. Like
he's,
that's, so it's kind of uncomfortable.
Let's get into it.
Go for it.
So this week, the men express themselves through art. Katie falls for several men in the house, but one is still a little too attached to a woman at home, and she probably still cuts the crust off his sandwich. We finally meet Brendan, who apparently exists. Mike P stars in a local production of Oedipus next, and Andrew heads home in yet another complicated way. The Oedipus. Honestly, if you know, you know.
I accidentally put 2 Mike P references in there. I couldn't decide on which one, apparently.
You gotta lean in. But so let's name that episode. I said she loves me not, obviously, with going back and forth with Andrew, and then also with Brendan as well.
Yeah, I said the only rule is there are no rules. Which, and
what is that in reference to, just that she just does whatever she wants?
The fact, yeah, the whole show. I mean, it's been years, I think, since the show had any kind of structure. But, yeah, specifically the end of this episode.
I mean, she's literally just having, like, it feels like she has to, like, make a calendar invite to meet with Tayshia and Caitlin at this point. Like, Like she barely, like she checks in with them for 4 seconds and they just go, uh-huh. And that's it. You know?
Then they walk out looking smoking hot at the rose ceremony.
Yeah. They're like, we were too busy making sure that our outfits were exactly the same.
And better than yours.
I mean, I keep waiting for that song from Mean Girls, like that Missy Elliott song to play every time they walk in.
In slow motion.
I had the name as Kiss Me Baby One More Time.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
For Katie looking to get her last licks with Andrew. That's the craziest thing I've ever fucking seen in my life. But
last licks.
There's a lot to be said about that whole ending.
Yeah.
But let's dive into the most boring part, which was the Greg one-on-one.
So Greg gets another one-on-one. And obviously the main takeaway about this is that Mike P. and Brendan at this point have yet to have a one-on-one. So Greg gets a second one before they even get their first, which was kind of like, damn, this is not going to go well for these other two men.
They do this like every season, I feel like. And it always leaves at least one person feeling like total shit. But I wasn't surprised that it was Greg.
I wasn't surprised it was Greg. And I agree they do this every season, Chris. The one thing they don't show as much, and maybe because they just are like lacking content, is like the scorekeeping that the men were doing in the house. Like I've never seen them be like, well, you've had one. You've had one.
Uh-huh.
These two have had zero. Like the math never was like done in front of me. But I guess that's what happens behind the scenes a lot is that they're going, who got the one? But you see Greg on this boring date and you go, okay, it all makes sense. Like she had to see, like it makes sense that she wouldn't want a one-on-one with one of those two guys that we've never even met, that she never connected with. And it also makes sense that she's like, I got to see if this guy's like into this. Like he gives nothing.
Nothing.
He gives he serves literally nothing on a platter. The matching olive green tones were the most exciting part because they matched his eyes. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Also, Katie was wearing a Hanes t-shirt on this day.
Three different t-shirts.
I would assume that's her look if that's what's going on. You know, like that's her vibe. But like even the shirt that she was wearing on the Greg date looked like she had gotten a stain on her other shirt and they were like, we have this one from the Lost and Found. Like it didn't even look like.
Yeah. Right? You know? It didn't like the other two at the end. Like she had one on a date and then she had another one on a little bit later and they were like cropped at least, you know, like had a little bit of edge to it. This was literally like a box t-shirt that they just pulled out or like out of a bag.
Yeah, literally, I was like, that's a fresh Hanes tagless.
Yeah.
You don't even see the wrinkles from the bag. And then the date itself, they're like doing things that apparently you do in Seattle, although I'm sure people from Seattle would argue that they don't all throw fish.
It's like the I've been to Seattle a few times and this is the Times Square of Seattle is the Pike Place Market. Like,
yeah, it is.
You know, you know, young 20 somethings aren't going there on dates every week, you know, like you know, that's not where they're headed.
No, you're going there and you're because you're on vacation and you have to like see it and you want to ride like the Ferris wheel and walk through the market where somebody's probably going to steal your stuff. Like
I was actually once there and I was like walking around because I was like, you know, there for shows and stuff. And I remember I was by myself and I asked a family to take my picture and then they got in the picture with me. So there's a picture on my Instagram of me with this like family at the Pike Place Market.
Actually, Jared, I think you and I hung out in Seattle.
Yes, we did. We hung out
in Pike Place Market, or like
we were legit right near there. Yeah.
What the fuck?
I forgot about that. I mean, like what they did on the, like the throwing the fish. I get it. Like you're representing your city. She's a Seattle woman, which. Totally, I get it. Like, what else are they gonna do? But then you just like watch this. Like, it just felt like they were like directionless. Like, it's just them. Like, yeah,
ruining the set. I mean, the giant. Also, Greg was like nothing.
Afraid of the fish.
I found nothing less hot than Greg's reaction to almost everything that was going on in this state.
And then at one point they exchanged bouquets.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like the ABC is desperate for somebody to come up with a new. We need a brainstorm meeting, like stat. Listen, with the producers.
I will happily go be the date writer for this show. Like I think like there is so much room for fun and games, and we're gonna get to the group date later. But like, you can tell they just have no idea how to be creative at all with it. And like, I guess the reason this gets cut up, like the Greg date is boring, is because Greg is boring. Like, they like each other, but like, Greg gives nothing. Like, she even said, like, are you ready for me to meet your mom? And he's like, he like looks at the ground for 10 minutes.
I feel like they're going to have sex once and that's all that needs to happen. And they'll be done with each other.
Like, get it out of their system.
Like, I'm like, they're just two hot people. They don't have like, I don't really see like a hot connection there or like anything. And even, I'm like, just go figure it out and then come back and then she'll actually figure it out. And then even when she's like, I feel like you're going to leave. Now I feel that like he's going to leave. Like,
but that was crazy. That, you know, why, like, you know, at what point, like, is she chasing him as part of the allure that like, he's not giving her anything. So she wants him more.
I feel like that could definitely be it because he really isn't putting anything out there in that, you know, it makes things more exciting when there's kind of like a, does he like me? Or like, you have that.
Yeah,
like anxiety,
everyone likes
that you're
to chase.
You're confusing for butterflies. And I think that's part of it.
I
felt like the whole thing I was just so unenthusiastic about. Greg talks about how he was bullied in high or middle school, which I don't believe.
Yeah, do people understand that like not like being ignored is not the same as being bullied? Like to me, Greg is just a non-entity.
Right.
So like if I was in high school, then I'd be like, oh yeah, that guy, Greg, the little guy. You know, like that would be my response to him. That's not bullying.
And like also, yeah, middle school bullying is different than, and getting bullied because you're like the smallest guy on the football team is different than getting bullied. Trust me. So that's why I was like, Greg, calm down. And then they end with like the fake rain, the Paul Bunyan's Bucket Brigade, like at Six Flags, that just dumps over them as they make out in Katie's pleather dress.
Well, this was interesting. Greg's reaction to the rain was like, dude, you need to relax. Like his face when he saw the rain, it was as if he was like on the cast of Holes. Like he was like cheering like crazy. Like it was like actually like, dude, you saw them with the hoses next to the set. Like you knew this was coming. So like
he
that's
thought
why,
he was
like,
gonna see Connor. He acted as though he was about to see Connor.
I mean, he did like. You know, you hear about the acting classes and you start to like put everything together and you're like, yeah, he creates a story about bullying that none of us really buy. Like, listen, I'm sure he has a story or two about bullying that could refute this. We don't know him. We don't know the situation, but everything just feels so convenient to a story being told. And then he sees the rain. He's like, what? Rain in the desert? It's a miracle. As like a producer's spraying a hose with their thumb over the front to the right. Like, come on.
Like, and it's like freezing outside.
I also caught I don't know if everybody caught this, but a really interesting glimpse at. So when you date actors and stuff, I always think like when they're kissing me and they're doing, you know, the whole like hand on my face thing, I'm like, this is them thinking like that's what people like to see in movies, or this is, you know, they kind of imitate those kind of actions. And I saw Greg last night during the rain sequence, if you will, he tore off his jacket and like threw it and was like, wow, I'm free. And then he picked Katie up, and I saw him pick Katie up, but he tried to like he grabbed onto her ponytail to like try to pull it out of her hair out of the ponytail so she could like, you know, do the whole like hair flip thing. And he couldn't get the ponytail thing out. If you go back and watch, it's actually really cringy. And he's trying to pull this out to like create this like movie scene, and then you see him like yanking on it and then giving up, but it very much gave like a,
she's like, ow, Jesus Christ, Greg, what the fuck.
Like an actor kind of like, I want to make this into look like as movie-esque as possible, like so planned out. And it was man, him pulling that out and not working was really awkward. I suggest that's going back and watching it.
But that's very interesting, and that plays into this whole character study of a guy who just feels like he's playing this game. He's just playing it smarter than Hunter or Thomas ever could. Mm-hmm. Like, and he even wears his shirt under the jacket was even like a garbage shirt that he wore. And it's like, did he know it was going to get messy? Like, is he like, like he couldn't touch the fish. Yeah. He's afraid of touching the fish.
I only take out my Van Heusens for non-Rayon.
Yeah, I noticed in the beginning of the day, he's like in this like gray like sweatsuit top under his jacket. It's like, what's going on here, dude? What are you in or are you out? What's going on?
Mm. I mean, who knows? But, and then Brendan doesn't get another one-on-one date. And honestly, I felt for him. That sucks. I would be really pissed off.
I was like proud of Brendan. I was like, yeah.
I was too.
You march down to customer service and you'd be like, listen, dude, should I stay or should I go? And then it was him saying goodbye to Blake, who Blake, like, did we talk about this last week? That Blake
we,
and
we kind of like, we said that we had heard, but then it became more of a story after he stayed. That he's like a friend of Blake's.
Yeah, they're like close mm-hmm. friends, like on they the same are. Hockey team. And that Blake was the one that like told Brendan, like, yeah, you should totally go on the show. And then he just showed up and he's like, yeah, man, I don't know. That sucks. I guess you should go. I had a good date.
Anyways, bye.
Yeah.
Like, Brendan will arguably be a groomsman in Blake and Katie's wedding if they were to get married.
Hilarious. I'm with you guys where it's like proud of him. Like, there's a point where you have to make a decision. Like, okay, I'm not getting the girl. I'm not getting the fame. I'm not even going to get a one-on-one. I'm not even going to get like camera time. It's time to go. Like, I didn't take him going to Katie as like a sign of like him trying to stay.
No.
Like, I thought it was just him being like, what's the deal? Just tell me here. Didn't it feel like that?
Yeah. It felt like he just wanted to get it all out in the open. He was like, hey, if you don't want me here, that's cool. Like, but I don't see why I'm still here. He's like, you're not giving me a one-on-one. I'm in here is these group dates. So, I mean, he clearly has made some sort of impression to get him to where he is, but it seemed like he was just like, she could have chosen other guys that I feel like she had more of a connection with or like had more of a storyline with to keep instead of Brendan. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't make any sense for him to be there.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he did what the most logical of us would do. Like, even when he was like, I have emotions too. It's like, I can't just be fucking sitting here all the fucking day long.
That was really, that hit me.
So that, yeah, I mean, good for him. And he didn't have to go on this stupid ass group date, so.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service, and for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
Brendan goes home and we get to this like art, like vagina art.
Well, they kind of do the guys a little bit dirty.
Yes.
I think, here's my assumption of this date. My assumption is that this woman paints portraits of her own vagina, artistic portraits of her own vagina, which is fine. That's not the craziest thing that's ever happened in the art world today. And then they cut that out. I think ABC was like, nah, dude. And they kind of cut around that. So that's just the men being really judgy of this woman's art in a weird, like, sexualized way. And then they're like, okay, men, your turn to make your art. And then they just make all sex art.
Well,
and everyone's like,
she also says after they tear apart the stuff, she's like, oh, well, that's interesting because it's a self portrait. These are self portraits.
Yeah.
And then Blake's like, well, some. And the woman's like, But I felt the same. I was like, you guys set these guys up to be like,
yeah, to be dicks. And then, but if they never explain that they're vagina portraits, like, so then the guys, when they do like their set, like when Mike A is making a clay sculpture of an asshole, you know, like he looks like a piece of shit. Like he got like imagine if they were like, do some art and everyone just drew penises. Like, yeah. that's what it looked like.
And the fact that Blake, his description of it when the woman asked him, he said, he was like, well, it's kind of like messy and aggressive. And I was like, that is exactly how I want somebody to describe my pussy.
I feel like, no, I think he had drawn them having sex. Blake's drawing.
No, I was talking, he was describing, because she asked him he thought about hers, like at the beginning.
Messy. Yeah.
And aggressive. So it's like, oh, well, good. But yeah, I'm also confused about Justin's piece of art, because it looked like a fifth grader had painted that, yet he had that beautiful rose at the beginning, and then he comes back later with these butterflies, and I'm like, what am I missing?
And Blake even said, he was like, I don't know, Justin's rose was nice, but then everything else was weird. I was very on team Blake, honestly, for this whole date, because I'm like, I get it. Art is, I don't get it. And if I had to go on a date and explain what I thought of art, I would also not get a second date.
Yeah.
And listen, if Justin's the artist and you could see a rose and then the rest, you're like, I don't know what that is. How descriptive and how gross could Blake's art have been that the whole thing needed to be blacked out?
I feel like it was stick figures with like circles as holes, just like railing each other.
I mean, that's what it had to have been for them to like be so like, we can't show any of this,
like doggy style, even or something, like, you know.
I can't even trust that his stick figures would be able to show that to me. Like, I just didn't understand how bad it could have been.
And Justin even said that, like, in his little, like, in the moment interview at the end of it, he was like, "It's like, Blake, he's a freaky dude. Like, Blake does some weird shit." And I can see that. That's who he was on last season. And he's a staying on brand, if you will.
That he is.
That he is. Yeah.
The second part of the date, like the where it's basically just like a cocktail hour. Katie and Michael like talks to his son on the phone. I don't know. Obviously, we all want a happy ending for Michael. Do we think it's going to come from this? No. And Katie is like very on board with being a stepmom, it seems.
Yeah, she's like, I'll get the juice boxes. I'll make the sandwiches. I'm like, what?
I mean, yeah. we've been saying this for the whole season. Like, Michael A is kind of like the thing that makes everything look ridiculous. Like, when you put it in terms of like, his wife has passed, he's got a kid at home, so like, you can't really live in like dreamland with him. And Katie starts with Blake and is like, oh, Blake, you know, having this like conversation with him, like, yeah, we could be engaged forever. And then she goes to Michael A and she's like, I'm ready to buy the juice boxes. Like, no, you sound ridiculous. You can't make promises to both of these people.
I agree. Because she keeps being like, she's like, it's not just for you. I know it's for you and for James, which is the son's name. I'm doing, and I'm like, if you're not going to pick him, you really shouldn't be
saying all this.
Saying these things. But you know.
Just, and it just looks so weird combined. You know, like Justin and Blake's interactions with her are so like kind of normal, I guess, for this show where you're like, okay, they're getting to know each other. They're starting to like each other. And then hers with Michael A is like talking about condiments as if that's a motherly duty. And you're like, what? Like, it just does. It's like, why are you convincing him? And I guess it's the same as Greg. Like, she's convincing these guys to stay. And it's like, I don't think you have to. Why are you doing that? If you need to do that, then maybe they shouldn't stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, I still can't get over the fact that I just don't think Michael A is ready. But like,
I don't think that he's ready. He's like, I know I should be back in Ohio, but I like can't be there if I'm not happy. And I'm like, I'm sure there's also a girl in Ohio, maybe.
That's already like ready to settle down, begging to settle down.
Like, I'm like, he seems like exactly like there's definitely women for Michael A in Ohio.
Well, I mean, that's why I think, like, I mean, we've been saying for a while, just him as the Bachelor is so interesting. Like, I think people would sprint. It would be like, you know, like when women try to like date guys in prison, like it'd be like the it'd be like there's a different version of that for men whose lofts are wives.
Love and, after lockup.
Right. This would be like
love after loss.
Love after loss. I think they would be sprinting towards applying to the show.
Yeah, I agree. He does get the group date rose, even though Andrew hangs those white lights like they did.
God, Andrew is everything.
I knew Andrew was going home the minute he spoke to Katie. I knew
really?
It.
Really?
I said, he's going home. You can't look at a woman who's sitting there going, I'm ready to be engaged. And you look at her and you go, what should I do next? And with my life, and you go, not gonna work out. That's just not how it happens. I'm sorry to burst everyone's bubble. Andrew's a very nice guy. I love Andrew. I'm a huge fan of his. But when he says, you know, you die twice as an athlete, once when you have to leave your sport, and then you really die, and you go, yeah, I empathize with all of that. Like, if you've played any sports in life or any organized sports, you have a little bit of like loss from losing, playing that game. But then when he said, well, I want to hear what you think. What do you have to say? And it's like, that's not really what women who are ready to get engaged want. A directionless dude who's like, he sounded like an influencer who started a podcast. And he was like, on the third episode, he's like, what would you guys like to hear on the next episode? Like,
yes.
No, I don't want to listen. I don't want to be a part of your show anymore. So when I saw that, you know, you have guys, you know, Michael A. owns a business. Justin's got his own thing. He works in finance, I think. Like these are like, people with plans, people with their own plans. Yeah. Nobody wants. And I would say this for myself. You don't you don't want to date someone who's like, so what are we thinking for the next phase of life? You're like, what? We got to get to know each other a little bit more. First,
yeah, like, you know? I don't even know if you have a real British accent or not. Like,
he's only 26. He's still on his parents' insurance. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
The decisions just can't be made.
And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Everything he said, there was nothing wrong with what he said. It's just not someone that I saw winning a love competition. Yeah.
No, I don't think the only thing wrong with Andrew is that he's 26. Like,
yeah,
we were all 26 also, and wouldn't have, you know what I mean? Like, it's not his fault that he's literally just 26 years old.
Yeah, Katie said no to joining him on his quarter-life crisis. Like, he legit brought that up. Like, and it's like, when I heard him have that speech, like, I thought she was going to pull a card from the sky, and the card was going to be like, do you have any resume tips?
It's like, remember
that
little
reference?
Yeah.
That little like paper clip that would pop up on Microsoft when you used to, like, it's like, looks like you're writing a letter. It was like, looks like you need help with a resume.
Somebody said that Connor looked like the paper clip.
That's funny.
Vibes. Okay, before we get to the rose ceremony, we have poor Mike's one-on-one.
Yeah.
Man, that was brutal to watch, just because knew from the very beginning, the second she was like, well, I'm a cuddle expert, I was like,
I was like, this is fucked up.
Yeah. I agree. I thought this, I was like, this is mean. This is just not even. She's like, I have to see if I have a physical connection. Well, why don't you go for a dinner date and see if you kiss at the end? Like, you can see a physical connection from that and not from rubbing your genitals against someone who's never used them before.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah, but, like, literally, all these people that we have now, like, is Cuddle Queen Jean going to be a series regular now as well as Franco and everyone else? As soon as they're, like, it's guided cuddling in the woods, and then she makes them go change into, like, those all white.
He looked like he was about to baptize me in the river.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It was...
It was all weird.
And he tried to like be normal too. He was like, I look like a drug lord. And I was like, no, you don't. You look like you are about to commit a mass suicide, like Jonestown style. And they're giggling throughout the whole thing, which was, it was awkward.
Cuddle Queen Jean was the only one connected to reality. She was like, this is awkward. You know, like,
weird. It's like why are you?
Yeah, if a woman who calls herself the Cuddle Queen is the only connection to real life, then we have a problem here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I felt it was interesting that, like, the minute, like, Katie pops out of producer mode. To me, Katie's being a producer in this instance. Like, she's, you know, like, she pops out of that producer mode the minute he's like, you could see Mike is taking this totally honestly and seriously. He says, I would never break. I'd rather my heart be broken than your heart get broken or something like that. It was like, I'd rather my heart get broken 1,000 times than break someone else's heart. And you just see Katie's eyes just turn and like, oh, I'm being a dick. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, that's where she ended the date.
And I think he knew it too. And I think he needed to say something because I think she was worried about it. And I also, him, Mike P and Mike A, this is like a hot take, but I think she's just keeping them on or has kept them on because she wants to seem like she's open to anything.
Totally agree. I think like this is her biggest fault. Like, I like Katie. We all like Katie. Her biggest fault, and it's happened this whole season, is she has to be the woke queen on everything. Mm-hmm. Like, not just things you would think of as being woke. She's got to be 360 degree woke. She's got to, you know, she literally, it felt like she kept him on because he was a cool virgin. He's like, see, you can. I didn't realize people who were virgins could be cool. See crowd, see audience. You guys, you shouldn't judge people. It's like, Katie, I didn't come here for fucking Sesame Street. I came here to watch you have a real experience with people. And, you know, you're kind of, at this point, you're being mean to this guy.
I also hate, they do this all the time now with virgins. And then that's like the whole thing about them is that they're a virgin. And I'm like, we get it, like that's the storyline that they're being given because that's how they came into it, but it's the same thing. Like, Ashley I was a virgin when she came in, and even now her and Jared are having a baby and people are like posting like, I guess she's not a virgin anymore.
Sure.
And I'm like, yeah, she was on the show fucking 7 years ago as a virgin. She's been married for like 2 years, so I think she's definitely fucking had sex.
Correct.
Like, hilarious take on the pregnancy announcement. Yeah. I felt the same way. Like, the thing about Mike that's so weird isn't that he's a virgin, it's that he's like obsessed with his mom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, make fun of that. Don't make fun of, you know, it just feels annoying. And yes, him whispering about how his mother was perfect into Katie's ear was bone chilling, but
and then he said something. He compared Katie to his mom. He was like, well, nobody is or she cuddles better than my mom or like something like that.
Yeah, he said that. He was like, but don't tell my mom, she'll kill me.
He also, the whole mom,
what's up?
The mom stuff was just like, I mean, he was put in a position to lose. Like, I don't like, you want to like I would like to meet him more just to see if he was just this like dude who was like not really a social guy. Like, it got like, the more he talked about the mom, the more I was like, does he not get that he's on camera and this is exactly what we're gonna make fun of? Like, I was like,
I'm like, Are they making him say more stuff? Because the editing was also really shady, I thought, because he was like, I love nurturers. Like, I'm really into nurturers. Yeah. Then it cut to, Katie reminds me of my mom. She's a nurturer. And then it cuts to him being like, you have really soft legs, to Katie. And I was like, this is so fucked up. This editing is like... But, I mean, like, we're here for it, obviously.
We can find a way to make fun of Mike the Virgin who loves his mom. Like, they don't have to really force it.
Well, I mean, I guess it was either that. I guess it was either the cuddle date or have him draw vagina roses, question mark.
Yeah.
Well, that was the interesting part about the other guys. They go back to the guys in the house and they're like, you know, can you imagine Mike P on that date with drawing the vaginas? And then he's on this cuddle date. It's like, you know, even the guys in the house were like, yeah, they're not a match. Like, what's going on here?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, Blake was like, I don't see Mike coming home. Straight up said it. He was like, I just don't see Mike coming back here. And sure enough, he didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was obvious with Mike. It was obvious with Brendan since like weeks ago. I think the people that are left are the ones that we all knew were going to be left for weeks now.
Okay, so we had the rose ceremony, and Andrew gets sent home, but we go on this entire roller coaster ride of backsliding into him again, and then I thought when he got sent home, there was still like 20 minutes left of the episode, and I was like, oh, some shit's gonna happen. She's gonna change her mind. He's gonna stay or something, but not, oh, she's going to send him home and then he's going to come say goodbye and then she's still going to go home and then she's going to chase after him. Oh my God.
So what happens is he gets sent home. They have a long goodbye. He goes in the car. He does his piece where he basically is kind of trying to audition for The Bachelor a little bit. Then the next day it's him saying, I didn't understand. Like, he came over to be like, his whole reason for coming over was to be like, I didn't want to leave on bad terms. Is that what his...
He didn't want to leave, not on bad terms, but like have their last moments be sad or upsetting. He wanted to leave on like a smiling, happy note. Be like,
that's,
you know,
stupid
what?
To me. That's not how fucking shit ends, okay?
But, you know, it's stupid to me that, you know, to me, it's stupid to me that Katie would allow this to happen. Like, you know, or be like... Like, it's stupid to me that, like, his hands on her legs. Like, you should be sitting. You have just been dumped. The relationship has changed. I can understand that Andrew's, like, trying to accept that. Like, I can understand, like, when you get dumped, you're behind. You're not ahead. You know, like, the person who ends it had the information first, gave it to you. Now you have to deal with it. And he comes back and you go, okay. And it's like, but the way Katie reacted to him being like, when he sends, you know, he gives her another letter. I mean, Andrew must have 7,000 postcards from CVS. He gives her another letter. And it's like, I'll be waiting. And it's like, Katie, it's up to you to put that in the trash and go, no, I have four other people that are waiting here.
I thought, yeah, it was made no sense to me at all. Because also this happened, remember, last season with Tayshia and Ben, who, like, she kicked him off and then he came back anyway. I'm like, okay, I guess this is just like a thing now. But also the note said, if you change your mind, I'll be waiting. And then she changed her mind and he was like, nah, actually.
Yeah,
like,
I think he meant
like,
it.
I'm really trying to be The Bachelor and I did not think you would come down and give me another chance.
He's like, so awk.
He's like, I already fucked like three other people.
When I took the stairs. Great stairs down instead of the elevator.
Yeah, that whole thing. I was like, why would you take the stairs?
Yeah.
If you don't think someone's chasing. I just thought it was all very contrived.
I thought, well, I mean, it kind of like, it made me not less of a Katie fan. Like, for Katie to just be like, okay, you can come back. Come take whatever you want. You can have my room. Like, what, Katie? Like, he's fifth place.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? You're like, you have a responsibility to hold up the end of the dumping bargain where it's not like they were together for 8 years and she's like deciding between nobody and him. She decided between four other men and him.
Yeah,
and she
after
let him
knowing
go.
Each other for weeks.
sorry, I was going to compare it to being like, if you're firing someone. When I worked at the restaurant for years, like, I hated firing people. It was the worst. But like, my boss would be like, you can't, it doesn't matter if they start crying and stuff. Like, you can't just be like, okay, actually, yeah, you know what? It's all right. We can do another chance. It's like, you have to like hold firm, even though it's the worst thing.
The worst thing ever.
So like, I'm like, Katie, you can't falter on everyone that's going to go. I don't know. I thought it was odd.
I would even be like somewhat, it would be somewhat understandable maybe if it was like the last, the last two. It was like him and one other guy. And then she was like, wait, fuck, maybe I did mess up. And like, then ask him to stay and send the other guy home. But yeah, like Jared, you said there were four other guys.
Yeah. It just, I mean, and then asking him for one more kiss, you're like, it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Like, can I get one more kiss? Like, I just, you know, reverse the genders in that situation. Are we as cool with that? Like, is that not a story?
Oh,
if a guy's like, a guy dumps a woman and goes, how about one more kiss, baby girl? Like, what?
Yeah, it's like, let's.
You'd be like, you're fucking
together
with him
one more time. Yeah.
And then
before
we'll be
I
done.
Break up with, uh-huh.
That is what that felt like, yes.
Right?
It's like in The Office when Ryan like is breaking up with Kelly and he's like, can I borrow $3 and let's have sex one last time? And she's like, okay.
Yeah, just a bizarre ending to it that like, yeah, it doesn't, to me, it wasn't a good look.
Well, Andrew, I'm still single, so.
Here we go.
Here we go. If you're listening.
Kay's ready for a quarter life crisis herself.
I've already had one.
Yeah, she'll do it again.
I was like,
I'll,
yeah, we're far past the quarter of our life.
Easy. Easy. Okay, so let's get into our categories this week. Katie's top three choices. Chris, you and I have the same, I think. Greg, Blake, and Justin. I'm surprised, yeah. Justin's here. He is also throwing me.
I feel like it's Greg and Blake has got to be the final two.
Yeah. I had Greg, Blake, and a random ex who gives her a one sentence note. That's my time.
Yeah, literally.
Like, there could be an ex that just comes out of nowhere and is like, hey, I've been thinking. Yeah, come in. One last kiss. Get in here.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it.
Sure.
And then House Villain. I said Greg just because I feel like he's getting so much time and not putting in the rest. Like he's making him chase her, or he's making her chase him.
Greg seems like somebody that's never been dumped.
Mm.
Do you know, like Greg has not gotten rejected enough in his life and it shows. Like I feel like he is just unaccustomed to not having people love him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you guys on Greg. I had Katie as the villain this week just because you got to be a strong head of the house. And you're saying you can't be wishy-washy, even though it's hard to make these decisions. You have to make these decisions. That's it. That's the show. And it's like when you go back and forth, it kind of you're kind of messing with people a little bit. And I do think that part of that's that there's no host and, you know, Caitlin and Tayshia are off looking at their Instagram DMs instead of just like hanging, you know, with her.
Making TikToks.
Yeah, making TikToks while she, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, like Katie and Tayshia's parts could have been filmed in one day. Like
I think they
might have.
100%. All right. Would you rather? Chris, you can go first.
Cuddle with someone while they tell you how amazing their mom is at cuddling, or cuddle with someone while you have a coach telling you how to do it.
Ooh, that's hard. Maybe
both are awful, honestly.
Both are awful. I think the coach, maybe.
It's definitely the coach. I'm taking the coach because now you're learning new cuddle maneuvers. Maybe you like one. You know, like they're the expert. Like take us through. You're both in the position where the coach is like, you know, it's only awkward because the coach is there, but like then the coach leaves and you talk shit about the coach. Like I, you know, the mom, that's the person you're cuddling with.
Right. I know. I like learning new cuddling techniques. I'll never forget. I dated a guy, and he taught me that, you know, he always put like a pillow between his knees, like between his legs. And I was like, that is, why are you doing that? That's so weird. Now I cannot sleep without a pillow between my legs.
There we go.
Can't sleep without something between my legs.
Vile.
That's the quote of the podcast. Let's call it can't sleep with something between our legs.
All right. I said, would you rather have all of your contestants have kids or all of them be virgins?
Ooh, this is a tough one.
Have kids. I'm ready to be a step parent.
Oh my God.
I'm with you. I think I'll have kids because I think like their whole, I think if you have a kid, your whole perspective on things is just like, this isn't the end of the world, so to speak.
Yeah. I'm like ready. I would like to have a kid, but I don't want the financial aspects or the full responsibility of it. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I could be like, oh yeah, I'm the, you know, I'll be the step parent that the kid later talks about in therapy. That there was like, I was really close with my stepdad and then he left. That's what I'm going to be.
Perfect.
I don't know. Cause I don't want kids but I also need someone, who is not a virgin, but I think I would go the virgin route. I think I would go the virgin route. Yeah, I know. I'm insane.
They wouldn't be a virgin at the end of the day, I'll tell you that.
There it is. I had cuddle with a virgin or sex with a virgin.
Ooh.
Sex with a virgin. You'll never forget me.
Yeah. Leave that lasting impression.
There it is. You evil assholes.
I know. Honestly, though, true.
I'm kidding mostly. Jared, what about you?
I don't even know
the cuddle. I mean, after watching someone cuddle with a virgin, I'm really put off to it.
I am too, and I don't think I would have thought about it that way until I saw that.
Also, Mike's like a super virgin. Like, I feel like Mike doesn't even masturbate, and like, you know, I feel like there's virgins that have cuddled before. Mike just is like.
See, I do think that at least when you saw that they cuddled, like you when you cuddle with a virgin, you see how attached they get to that. So you can only imagine how weird it would get during sex, like how the attachment during sex, like, you know, him saying during cuddling, like, you know, my mom does it this way. You're like, okay, good to know. I'm out. Like, good thing I didn't do the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Paradise picks. I said Andrew. I think Andrew is a great guy for Paradise, but now that we know, I don't think he's going on Paradise. Or he's just not a part of the original cast.
Yeah. Or he's The Bachelor.
Or that. I had Andrew with a package of notes. He's just going to come with us.
Just like postcards that he's sending from Paradise.
Okay, cringiest moment. I said the entire Mike P date, obviously.
Yeah. That was really bad. I said watching Brendan get turned down, not for a one-on-one, not once, but twice. That was tough to watch.
Yeah, I had Katie chasing the guy who came in fifth place. Like, I just, that whole chase.
When you put it that way.
Yeah. One more kiss for mommy, and then it's like, I'll send you on your way. Like, just that whole thing was just, ugh.
Three different cringy moments. What an episode.
Yeah.
What an episode. All right, Jared, you got a minute for us?
I think I already did my minute with the Andrew. No, I knew he was done. Just Andrew giving his quarter life crisis and any suggestions on where I could find a job. It's like, ugh, dude, you're gone. But not that he's not a good person, but it was just over. I knew it was over.
It's also when people that are only like 26 are like, I feel like I've lived my whole life. Now what? I'm always like, shut the fuck up. Like, you haven't lived any life. I maybe it's just that I have something against anyone that's younger than me, but
unless you can get on a spaceship that goes to space because you're a billionaire, you're not really done yet. You have to live a lot of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feed yourself and pay rent for a while. So
amen.
Amen. And then who's getting your rose this week, guys?
I said Brendan because I was like, this is how I would have done it as well. Like, I felt like he was very just like down to earth about the whole thing. There was no.
I'm with Chris. I'm with you. I totally agree.
I said Katie's t-shirts because they were the stars of the show. Three different plain t-shirts all in one.
What did she do to the stylist? And it's like viral now on TikTok. Everyone like talks about the stylist by name and they're like, what did Katie do to you? Admit it.
Hilarious.
So next
week is Hometowns. We finally get to, I mean, Hometowns is genuinely my favorite week just to see the people who, it used to be better when they go to their hometown. I liked when they go to their hometowns because the family just never looked ready. Like what we've seen with the pandemic ones is like they're prepared to come. Like they get they pack a bag. They have outfits chosen. There's always, when they go to their houses, there was always one family member that like just didn't understand that HD cameras existed. And I loved that person.
I love the family member that couldn't be bothered to like take a COVID test and fly there would be there when they go home. And that's the family member that I want to see.
Exactly.
Totally. The one that's like, oh yeah, that's my brother. He still lives with my parents, and they like, we all talk about him via text. Like, there's a family text thread, and then there's a family text thread without Steven.
Yeah.
Facts. All right. Yeah, I'm excited for Hometowns. I think we should maybe come next week with like, or actually, fuck it. Which family are you most excited to see next week?
Ooh. I guess Blake's, just to like, I just imagine Blake's whole family being like a bunch of like dumb hockey people.
Like, I was gonna say like it's just like four bears and a moose that like
very doofy. Like
it's four bears. He's like, these are my parents and my brothers, and then it's a moose, and he's like, and this is my sister-in-law, Cece. Like, I feel like I'm excited to meet Blake's family and Michael's.
I'm kind of scared to see Michael's if they all just show up like sad, like weird. Like, I'm kind of like afraid of what that is. Mm. But I guess that's because I'm a wuss.
Fair.
I'm excited to meet Greg's. I envision Greg's mom like wanting to make dinner, and she's like, just a pinch of salt on the chicken, and that's it.
Like, I bet Greg has a hot mom too. I bet.
Interesting.
Greg, you know when you see someone and you're like, you have a hot mom by the way you carry yourself?
Interesting.
I feel like Greg has a hot mom.
Well, I'll be looking forward to that.
Now I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. But make sure you guys, next week for the Hometown episode, make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and Twitter at Bachelor Pod. Obviously, subscribe to our newsletter, The Bachelor Breakdown, at betches.co/Bachelor Breakdown. You can follow me at K York City.
Me at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm at Jared Free.
And like Jared always says, make sure you're sharing everything on your Instagram story.
And give us your villain of the week in the comments section of the post that promotes this podcast.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Betches.